it's interesting to me because the private sector, with the motivation of the hitting the quarterly numbers of living and dying on Wall Street, is often, in my opinion, more afraid to take risk in terms of really embracing Web 2.0 technologies and social media and all of that as much as, say, the public sector. You know, if you look in pockets in the public sector, like people like Richard Boley over in eDiplomacy in the State Department is just doing amazing work driving innovation on a low-cost budget to really make things happen that you rarely see on the private sector. A lot of innovation, a lot of knowledge management and knowledge sharing, and really building robust communities with things like, you know, with their Diplopedia and all of that.
So give us part of my perspective has always been that these things, the government, part of this is about sharing information. And of course, who has more data that can be shared than the federal government or governments overall? So this is a real opportunity. This is sort of a perfect hand in glove kind of opportunity. And my sense is government kind of gets that.
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, you really, if you start by looking at, say, departments of transportation across the country as a really good example of how government is getting it in terms of data sharing, you start right at the top with people like Ray LaHood, who does in my opinion, does a brilliant job of blogging and sharing information. And that ability really flows all the way down, and you see a lot of departments of transportation taking the lead in terms of opening up data and going beyond just the typical engagement and using Twitter and Facebook to push out messages. They're actually sharing real-time data. You look at what's happening up here in Boston, and you see a lot of effort to push that information out, a lot of applications being built by private developers, you know, building iPhone applications, other types of mobile applications, LED applications that are going into storefronts so that we can really enable the person to make anywhere that they are their bus stop. Because, you know, like if you're in, say, a Starbucks picking up some coffee and you can see, hey, my bus is 30 seconds away, you know exactly how much time you have. So governments have more data than any of us can comprehend, certainly more than any private organization. And you're seeing them really start to open it up. You know, Open 311 is a great example.
Yeah. And you deal with this all the time in terms of challenges. What are some of the big challenges that you have found folks having that, I mean, there's just the resistance to change, it seems, a lot of it cultural, that cultural thing, we lump it all into the culture term, but it seems there's more to it than just that.
Well, I think culture plays a part. I mean, there's absolutely, you know, you start to look at motivations. And I'll step back for a second. You look at motivations in the private sector, and it all comes down to the revenue.
Does it make us money?
Yeah, it doesn't make us money. And at the end of the day, profit is king. So we're either looking to chop dollars or we're looking to make dollars. And oftentimes there's a short-sighted leaning towards making over being operationally efficient, and a lot of times you see that in poor customer service. But anyway, on the public side, the motivation, the scorecard, you know, what's being measured is often a lot fuzzier. So there's a natural desire, or there's a natural ability for people to just to sort of get comfortable and say, well, I guess we're doing okay. And I look at it not as a lot of people look at the public sector falsely as job for lifers, not motivated, and that it couldn't be further from the truth. You look at people like Mary Davey over at GSA. You look, I mean, I got a good friend who buys energy in the state of Massachusetts. He's been doing it for about 20 years. Jazzed up when he saved the state like $10 million.
Wow!
But a lot of times,
that's a cool job, buying, being the energy buyer for a state.
Yeah, yeah. It's really a cool job. But you know, a lot of times it's, what's the scorecard? So people don't know what the Uber goal is, what the overarching goal is. So it's more of a lack of clarity. One of the things I always preach to people is, look, you can't be successful unless you fully understand what your goals are. So yeah. Start by being really clear on what the goals are. The public sector, oftentimes, unfortunately, the goal is meeting a certain budget and delivering services, and there's really no scorecard in terms of how well they're delivering services or how they could do it better. So that's a challenge. It's a lack of clear goals. It's a lack of clear measurements and analytics that oftentimes make it difficult for innovation to come at a broad scale.
Well, and even some of the challenges that are out there, some of the tasks, and I always point to the easiest one is securing the ports. Well, you know, we could secure the ports easily. We could block everything from coming in, with the right amount of manpower and all that kind of stuff. But that's yeah. that's clearly not an option. And letting everything in isn't an option. So it's black and whites don't work. So it's a question of what shade of gray. And then everyone, generally in hindsight, will disagree about what shade of gray.
And it's fantastic because that's the same problem on the private side.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, public and private, the problems, the challenges, and the pathways to success are really common. You know, 75 to 80% common. You know, when you talk about blocking ports and in terms of really locking things down, you look at any CIO in any organization, you know, on the public or private side, they share the same concerns. Well, yeah, we want to communicate, but we don't want to take a chance of people overly communicating or bringing in viruses. And a lot of times what's been most interesting to me in conversations is at the higher ends of the agencies and at the lower ends of the agencies, at the upper echelons, people get it. They know what they have a clear picture or a clearer picture of the goal. There's oftentimes a huge amount of motivation for change at the lower end. And the middle managers are great, passionate people, almost to a person too, but they're kind of locked in the past sometimes. They don't fully understand the needs of and the tools that are available today. And there's, like I said, because of a lack of easy to measure goals and analytics around that, they're often afraid to rock the boat and try something different.
You write a lot about the social ecosystem. What is the social ecosystem?
The social ecosystem to me is really it's part a journey. It's a part a pathway of discovery. So I'll go past that. When I look at the cross organizational sectors and a lot across geographies, there's a lot of conversations that go on about government 2.0. There's a lot of conversations that go on about things like social CRM, social media monitoring, and you name any other catchphrase you want to. And even words as simple as transparency, which I've written about, just tend to cause a lot of confusion. The social ecosystem, to me, is an attempt at really defining in as simple a fashion as possible a common language, a common set of processes that will work across organizational boundaries. I don't want people, you know, and it's while I'm writing it, it's certainly not something I want to own because I think it has to come from everybody. But the concept, again, is to define a common language and from that a common set of best practices. You know, you look at, I've had conversations with Lovisa over in State, which I think you know Lovisa, and, you know, one of the things we were talking about was their social media guidelines that came out.
Yeah.
And they have done such a great job, but you look across different agencies, different local governments, everybody's trying to reinvent this themselves. Everybody's on this same pathway, the same discovery, you know, journey of discovery, and there's not enough sharing across all of these organizations. So the social ecosystem, in part, is about building a common understanding. The other frustration that I hear from a lot of people is they'll go to conferences like there's so many great government 2.0 conferences, and they spend a lot of the conference re-educating people to get people up to a common baseline, a common understanding, so that they can actually move forward and make some progress. So again, trying to build a common language that will help people get it.
It still seems to me that there's a certain, because a lot of these tools are either free or not that expensive, they almost get discounted. They say, I need to build a big multi-million dollar system to make it real. And there's, to me, there's almost that mindset that goes on. And it seems to me what a lot of folks are doing is going out and getting their jobs done in other ways. They don't want a big system because so often they wait for the big system and then it doesn't fully do what they want it to do.
Well, it either misses the mark in terms of time or functionality,
yeah.
And which that's the fundamental problem most of the time, and it overruns budgets. One of the things I always preach, and I said this before, but as part of the social ecosystem, is really starting with a clear understanding of your goals. Now, part of the problem is, and you see this in any kind of project, you'll have 10 people in the room and 10 different viewpoints on what the actual goal is. So you'll end up designing a system that is so big that, again, it's never finished and it never actually solves the problem, and people fall back to using TweetDeck or CoTweet or something else to get the job done. And everybody's frustrated because they spent a lot of money and projects were delayed. If you start off by simply defining the path, you know, what are you trying to accomplish, and drive that down into a very simple, let's solve this problem first, and let's start with something extremely simple, off the shelf. You'll be amazed at how much you can get done with a free, off-the-shelf piece of software. It's rare that anybody should be needing to build this huge, complex system for a lot of these tasks, because simply the tools are there already, and they're free. You know, you can accomplish as much or nearly as much with a $10,000 social media monitoring solution as you can with a combination of Google, you know, Google Reader and TweetDeck.
Yeah.
You know, but
and as you reach out to folks, it still seems like there's a little bit of a disconnect. People saying, okay, I don't understand how Twitter helps me get my job done. When you run into those folks, and not just Twitter, I'm just using that as an example, those folks who don't fully buy that these tools are, they seem like time wasters rather than additive. They seem like they're going to take time rather than adding to my ability to do my job. But what do you say to those folks?
Well, a lot of times I'd start off by telling them my story. I thought the exact same thing before I started using it. Taking Twitter as an example, I thought, what a ridiculous concept. What a ridiculous waste of time this was going to be.
I don't care if so-and-so's having a cup of coffee right now kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it took me about a month to fully understand it. And I wouldn't call it fully, but to start to understand the value proposition of it. A lot of people are simply looking at them as exactly that. I don't want to hear about what you're having for breakfast this morning. I don't want to hear about your cup of coffee. So it's first off understanding that depending on what your goals are, how you can use a tool like Twitter. So, for example, if your purpose is to get out there and deliver educational information to your community, looking at the demographics that you have and looking at tools that report, you know, accounts per geography or whatever, you can take a look at that and say, you know, do I need to be on Twitter or not? And it's not complicated, but a lot of times you'll find that enough of a percentage of your population in your local town, for example, is on the platform. Depending on the each audience type, they're going to spend the majority of their time on one platform or another. There's too many tools out there. There's too many social networks. But it really comes down to starting off simple, listen, engage, and reaching out. Twitter is a great example of a platform that's so difficult for people to get, but Facebook is too. You know, so I know Twitter was an example. Facebook, people view that as a great tool for checking out photos and mindless jokes or whatever. But if you look at, let's take a look at the Secretary of the Navy and the Department of the Navy, they have, 110,000 fans, and they're constantly pushing out and responding to information of all types, And they're doing a great job using that to build positive public relations. They're using it as a great way to push out all hands announcements. And it's supplementing other channels. It's simply an easy way to supplement other channels.
So as somebody who's been doing this for a while, what value does this add? How does this help you do your job better?
You know, for me, it comes down to reaching people where they are. So there's different audiences and different communities that I reach out to. But when I started out with Twitter, my initial goal was to meet a lot of people that knew a heck of a lot more than I did,
yeah.
To learn from them, and hopefully not sound like a complete boneheaded idiot by asking stupid questions. And I accomplished the first two. I'm not sure I accomplished the third, but my goal was simply that. And I found that by going to Twitter and using different list services to find different smart people, you know, like the Craig Newmarks of the world, that I could really listen to what these people were saying and talking about and learn a lot. In the process, I also learned that these are real people. They're not magically hiding behind TweetDeck and not talking. You know, Craig Newmark, a great example. I can't tell you the number of times I've reached out to Craig and just had him, you know, sent back a nice email back or a quick tweet back. So I not only found the education I was looking for initially, but I also started to build relationships that are now helping me, you know, because I've gone off and I've started my own business. I've started off my own consulting firm called The Lab, where I'm trying to bring a lot of these concepts out to organizations of all types. It's enabled me to make these connections and learn from these people the best practices. It's learned to engage in conversations that have helped enrich my thinking and will ultimately enrich my customers as well. So from a real revenue perspective, if I had never started down this pathway with Twitter or Facebook from an education standpoint, I wouldn't be making any money today.
Yeah. But it does seem like the focus constantly has to be on mission. These tools have to help you do your job better.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely, 38% of CIOs in this country are blocking social networks, putting up the firewalls, blocking social networks in their organizations. And that's across organizational types. The main reason, the primary reason is, hey, they're a waste of time. There's also a concern about viruses and stuff. But most people will say it's a waste of time. People are not getting the job done, so I just want to block it altogether. The problem is the people that aren't engaged, the low-performing employees or groups or whatever, are still going to be low-performing whether you have social media available or not. You need to understand how to leverage these tools and achieve goals. It's a management problem, first and foremost. So I agree with your point that it's a waste of time if you just go out and tweet, but if you have a plan behind it, it can be so powerful. These organizations that are choosing to block social media are making a leadership decision, a poor one, not to put a strategy in place to embrace that pathway, that channel, and learn from it. You know, a quick story, I chatted with this woman, she's a recruiter, and she started using Twitter because she heard from all of her friends, you gotta go social. That's where everything's happening, go social. And I was chatting with her and she was extremely frustrated because she had spent hours a week on Twitter and pushing out job listings, you know, engaging with other recruiters and really had nothing to show for it. And we started chatting about what her goals were. And, you know, her goals were to find great talent for her area. Well, she wasn't actually doing anything to help her do that. She was engaging with other recruiters. She wasn't actually finding the people looking for jobs in that area. So if you use a tool, whether it's email, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, whether it's on the phone, if you're using it without a thought to what you're trying to accomplish, it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's always a waste of time. So,
and yet these tools, I always tell folks, if you don't really know what it is, I'd allocate maybe a period of time. Don't jump into the deep end of the pool. Wade in, but try them, because something like Twitter, if you don't use it, it does seem, as we talked about earlier, it seems to not make sense. It seems almost foolish.
Yeah, when I talk to people about, and I hate the phrase, but personal branding, yeah. You know, I hate the phrase because it sounds like nonsense, and it's been used in ways.
It sounds egotistical. It sounds, you know. And
well, it is egotistical, but, you know, in a lot of ways. But if you think about it from the perspective of, hey, unless you're Chris, who does awesome stuff and will have a job for life doing what you're doing.
Your lips to my boss's ear.
Exactly. Most of us are going to be looking for work every 2 to 5 years. You know, either, you know, job gets cut or we decide to do something else or whatever. You need to do the best job you can to be constantly networking and promoting yourself. Not bragging about your accomplishments, but promoting, you know, hey, this is what I can do. Supporting other members of the community and making it a really mutually beneficial relationship. By using tools like Twitter, you can do it. You can spend, you know, you should spend a month or two taking your time, wading in, to your point, not jumping into the deep end of the pool, and deal with the period of time where you're saying this is a waste of time. Because what you will find through that experience are other people like yourself, other people who, if you're smart, can support you down the road when you're looking for that next job. So if nothing else is accomplished, staying on the minds of potential companies you might work for, of potential recruiters, is huge. There was a great story, I think it was on Good Morning America recently, which I guess means I have to admit I watched that once in a while. you know, it was on there, but they were talking about the fact that this woman, I think it was Sodexo or some company, she really wanted to get a job there. For 6 months on Twitter, she would purposely follow every single employee she could find on Sodexo, and not to creep on them. She would retweet their conversations. She would share stuff that, you know, similar stuff that they were talking about. If they had a question, she would try to add value to what they were doing. And at the end of 6 months, she was engaging with this company so much, they ended up offering her a job. So the job she wanted was hers because she actually invested the time. And it could have been Twitter, it could have been LinkedIn, it could have been anything. But she invested the time with a clear understanding for what the goals were she was trying to accomplish. And she accomplished it. So, and this, again, this applies across public and private sector equally well.
So for folks who may be out there and they listen to all this talk about social media or Web 2.0 or collaborative tools or whatever one wants to call it, and they're going, you know, I don't have time. What do you do? How do you tell those folks to wade into the pool?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I mean, first off, step back, spend an hour, spend 2 hours. Think about what you want to be accomplishing. You know, where do you want to be in a couple of years from now? What are you trying to accomplish if it's personal? And if it's organizational, you know, what's your yearly goal? What's your quarterly goal? What are you trying to accomplish over the next whatever period of time? Write that down, first off. Second off, create the accounts. Simply create the accounts and take a look at, there's some really great guides, if it's Twitter or anything else, on Mashable or elsewhere. And then spend 15 minutes a day. That's it. Or 10 minutes a day. You know, 5 minutes after lunch, 5 minutes at the end of the day. And listen to the conversations that are taking place. Just look at the different content that's flowing by. You know, there's so many easy tools out there that you can use. If you look at, Twitter itself or go to a tool like TweepML, you can find a list of people in any given area that you might want to learn from. Simply follow that list and 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, listen. And after, you know, some period of time, 3 or 4 weeks, a month, 2 months, you know, if you see something that you actually feel you can can add value to or comment upon it. It's a slow process. Anybody looking to get big, quick wins in social media, in social networking, is in the wrong place altogether.
Yeah.
You know, there can be overnight success stories, but this is, you're talking about building relationships the right way, the way that will actually deliver value in the long run.
And one of the biggest misconceptions about these things is I think people often think that it replaces everything else. All of a sudden, they're never going to meet with people face-to-face, or never going to use phone calls, or never going to use email. And certainly the history of technology says, hey, none of this other stuff disappears. It's all additive. It's another way of reaching out to folks that it can build that relationship.
Absolutely. Chris, would you and I be chatting today if I had never been on Twitter? We wouldn't have met if I was simply typing my emails, writing my blog.
Yeah.
Let's ignore blogs. Let's say I was simply, you know, your average worker in any organization anywhere, and I'm simply doing my job 9 to 5, and I may be the most brilliant individual, or maybe I'm just interesting in some way or shape or form. Nobody's ever going to know that unless I get out there and start to engage. Now, some people are happy with that.
Let me give you a little bit of opportunity to talk about The Lab. What is The Lab?
So The Lab is my new venture, and it really comes back to, again, helping organizations, and I'd really like to focus, I'm primarily focusing on organizations on the mid-size down for public and private sector, and it really is about using a lot of what we just talked about, helping them, first off, really understand what their goals are, and then putting together plans and along with strategies and tactics and all of that, and find the right tools to accomplish those goals that they've set forth. You know, in The Lab, I'm doing a few other things as well. I'm trying to continue my writing on the social ecosystem because it's a concept that will have tremendous payback in the midterm, I believe, across multiple fronts. And, you know, even just helping people out with things like how do you approach these tools to start to build your personal brand. And hopefully, and I haven't started doing this much from The Lab perspective, but just getting out there and preaching the gospel about, hey, all the great things we could be doing from government 2.0 and everything else. There's so many great success stories out there, whether you talk about the State Department or the Kansas, you know, Department of Transportation. All through this country and all over this world, there's so many great stories. So just want to help people tell their story.